Good afternoon. My name is Nathan Ramsey, and I'm Executive Director at Landis-Sky Regional Council. And I want to welcome you to our weekly COVID-19 response call. These calls are a way for our region to share information, to share best practices, and hopefully help us all respond better to the economic and the health challenges that this pandemic has brought on. And today, again, we're honored to have Drew Christie with the governor's office with us. And Drew will give us an update of the governor's latest announcement and where we're at as far as COVID-19 and any other matters that he wants to bring to our attention. And then we're going to have a presentation from ABCCM and their Veterans Services of the Carolinas. This week, yesterday was Veterans Day, and I know there were many opportunities across our region to even, whether it's virtually or in person, there were opportunities yesterday to recognize all who have served our nation and to thank our veterans. And I know many of you are probably already familiar with the work of ABCCM and the Veterans Services of the Carolinas, and certainly they're just one part of the effort to better support veterans in our region. But this work is incredibly substantial, and we have about 35,000 veterans just in the Landis-Sky region. So we look forward for hearing their presentation. But first I'll turn it over to Drew Christie with Governor Cooper's office. And Drew, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Nathan. And as always, thank you to Landis-Sky Regional Council for hosting these meetings. Per usual, I'll go through my numbers, go over the numbers, and then go into talk about what Governor Cooper, his latest executive order that will be starting tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So our total case count for COVID-19 through today is 303,454 total cases. Reported today, there were 2,893 new cases added today. We're still well above our target goal where we want to be. We want to be about 5% positivity rate. We're well above that now. And Secretary Cohen is having a press conference at 2, so you'd be able to watch that on your local PBS station, or you can find that online as well. Also, through today, there have been a total of almost 4.5 million tests completed. So that's good. Our total tests continue to grow, and that's what we want to see. Of course, we want to see more tests and less positive cases, which would give us a lower positivity rate. That's our ideal goal, but more tests are always good. However, this is not good. Unfortunately, we have 1,279 people currently hospitalized due to COVID-19. It looks like there are nearly 29 people were admitted in the hospital through yesterday due to COVID-19. So that's an unfortunate trend that we're seeing, is more people hospitalized. So moving off COVID case numbers here, looking at unemployment benefits, there's currently been a total of $8.6 billion paid out thus far, with 919,000, almost 920,000 claimants paid. There are currently 9,524 people pending resolution for state benefits. So that's right at 1% of all claims. So that's good. We're getting that number down and trying to get people paid out as best we can and as quick as we can. So moving on to talk about Governor Cooper's announcement that he made on Tuesday, phase three will continue in most of its entirety starting this Friday and continuing on to December the 4th. The one major change with phase three is the limit of mass gatherings for indoor activities. Currently, again, running through tomorrow at 5 o'clock, the current limit is set at 25 people for indoors. Under this new extension for phase three, the indoor limit will be dropped to 10 people. And what this actually means, and what this people that it, or what events it actually affects, are for indoor in-home gatherings, indoor in-home social events, and all other indoor gatherings not otherwise exempted from this from the executive order. And to give you some exemptions here, some exemptions would be worship, religion, spiritual gatherings, wedding ceremonies, funeral services, and other First Amendment activities, gatherings for work or for receiving governmental services, gathering at places that are subject to other capacity limits stated in the executive orders. These include fitness and exercise facilities, restaurants, personal care businesses, museums and aquariums, movie theaters, hotels, conference centers, and reception venues. So what we have seen, or what the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services have seen, the largest transmission of COVID-19 has come from family gatherings. So we just want to make sure that people are following the three W's, and we're trying to limit those family gatherings. And of course, you know, with Thanksgiving, we all want to be together with our families to celebrate Thanksgiving and moving forward. But we also want to be safe, because again, the vast majority of the spread of COVID-19 has come from these family gatherings. So we want to limit those to 10 people at max in order to help try and mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And let's see. So to Lacey, to answer your question, there had been more than 4 million total cases done in North Carolina year to date. Well, I say year to date, but starting, you know, when, once we started testing. So I think that was sometime April, mid-April.
Drew, you're referring to there's been over 4 million COVID tests.
Yes, I apologize. Yes, COVID tests thus far. Sorry to switch gears there. But going back to the governor's executive order, the 10-person limit really refers to in-person, indoor, at-home events and nothing more. If you go to the governor's website, you'd be able to review it and see what all it covers. One other thing that the governor announced on Tuesday with his press conference is that full service restaurants are not now eligible for assistance through the Mortgage Utility and Rent Relief Program, NCMUR, administered by the Department of Commerce. These businesses may apply for up to 4 months of rent and mortgage interest capped at $20,000 per location for up to two locations. Businesses can learn more and apply by visiting nccommerce.com/MURR. And with that, Nathan, that's all I have. I'll turn it back over to you.
And Drew, thank you so much for your presentation, the update. So it's my understanding we're seeing record number of cases, hospitalizations, or is it just due to the positivity rate of testing is above 5%?
It's all the above. I think Saturday or Sunday was our highest day ever in positive cases. And we're seeing that trend stay between 2,500 cases per day and 3,100 cases per day. And so from the total amount of positive cases, also through the positivity rate and the hospital rate, because some of these hospitals are coming up on their capacity limits, and we're worried about that as well. So we want to try and mitigate these the best we can, but also not hurt the economy either. So again, from what Department of Health and Human Services have seen, is that most of these spread of COVID-19 cases recently have come from in-person family gatherings. And so by setting this 10-person in-person, in-home limit is kind of what we're hoping to help stop that spread.
But for example, restaurants, I think, are they still at 50% capacity?
They are still at 50% capacity. All staff have to be wearing masks. Patrons have to be wearing masks while they're not sitting down eating, et cetera, et cetera. So everything is staying exactly the same. The only thing that's changing is the in-person, in-home mass gathering limit. And outdoor is still staying at 50 people.
Well, and Drew, we probably should have a conversation offline. I know we got notice, I guess, on Tuesday that the CDBG/CV funds, that program had been suspended. I know of our four counties were applying for those funds in addition to municipalities. And I think, you know, I know there was a limited amount of funds there. Have you heard any update on that, or we probably just need to talk offline about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have not heard anything about what's going on with the CDBG CV funding, so I'm unable to answer any questions at this time on that one.
And those funds were designed to help local governments support those with rental assistance,
yes,
other critical needs, some economic development projects related to COVID-19, and there were requirements that the local governments had to hold two public hearings. So it took some time to prepare those applications. And I know there were limited funds. Hopefully there'll be additional federal funds to support that. We're not having a legislative update today from Chris. I think, you know, we're in a sort of a period now. There's really not much new to report, but hopefully there will be some movement either prior to the inauguration of our next president or shortly thereafter that we get some assistance there. So, Drew, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Nathan.
Excuse me. I would like to now turn it over to Brandon Wilson with ABCCM, Veterans Services, the Carolinas. And Brandon, I'm trying to unmute you. And I'm going to set our security settings so you should be able to share your screen. And we're so grateful to have Brandon and several other folks with ABCCM on the call today. I know we have a few other folks that are in our region supporting veterans. This is, yesterday was Veterans Day. I failed to mention to Drew, and certainly we want to thank the governor. I know there's probably several proclamations the governor issued, but he proclaimed this week as an employee of Veteran Week. And we know we have about 35,000 veterans in our four county region. Brandon probably give me the more detailed number, but I think North Carolina is home to about 800,000 veterans. So we have a very high veteran population. And we really appreciate the work of ABCCM and others in our region to support our veterans. So I'll turn it over to Brandon. And again, Brandon, thank you for joining us this week.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. And I just want to show my appreciation for all the hard work that Landis Sky does and the many programs. We're familiar with several of them that you guys have there. with the Workforce Development Board and the Arion Agent. So really appreciate all the work you guys do. It's always great to see everyone's faces in person. I hate that we can't see that in person right now, but I'm sort of going to let you know a little bit about what Veteran Service of the Carolinas does. I'm going to try to share my screen with you right now and sort of see how that works. And let's see, share. And y'all should be seeing the PowerPoint presentation now with the big blue screen. Is that right?
I can on my screen, Brandon. So it looks good.
Good to go. So Veteran Service of the Carolinas is a division under ABCCM. For those of you familiar with Asheville Buncombe Community Christian Ministry, we offer several major ministries within the community. ABCCM has been around for a while. They were founded back in 1969 and are supported by over 300 churches today. So I'm going to give you a little overview on them real quick and then really talk about specifically with the veteran side of the house. And so those of you who know, ABCCM does offer a medical ministry on Livingston Street in downtown Asheville that provides medical care to individuals that are below the poverty level threshold that are Buncombe County residents. Very basic, generic medical treatment. But we do offer that Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on Livingston Street now. But we also offer a free pharmacy that's also out of that clinic as, in addition to that. We do not offer any kind of pain medication, but we do offer things such as blood pressure medicine, diabetic medicine, those kind of things. And we historically have partnered really close with Mayhek and Mission in the past. We also offer a jail ministry for Buncombe County where we go into those jails, not so much lately, but we go into those jails and offer devotionals, Bible studies, and then work with them. So if they've got families on the outside, they're getting supported. And when they leave incarceration, that they are supported or have a landing spot that can put them into self-sufficiency back on the right track. In addition to that, we also offer our four crisis ministries that are located throughout Asheville. One is in Hominy Valley toward the Inca Candler area. One is in Weaverville. One is in South Asheville and one is downtown. That's where individuals can come in and get assistance with heat and utility assistance, heat and assistance, financial counseling. We work really close with OnTrack. They can get free clothes if they need clothes. They can get a hot meal once a day at our location at 24 Cumberland that recently we've shifted off to Patton Avenue. But we have four of those sites across Asheville that we offer those services. We also have the Steadfast House, which I'll speak briefly on. It is a 50-bed facility for women and children who are experiencing homelessness. That Steadfast House will be going away within the next couple of months because we are in the process of opening Transformation Village. We are going to go from 50 beds to 98 beds overnight, so we're going to double our capacity. A lot of that has been because we've had 800 school-aged children that have been homeless in Buncombe County currently, and we've had a 400-person wait list for the last 4 years from women. Unfortunately, this is a lot of women there that are fleeing domestic violence, and so having them another place to lay their head surrounded by wraparound services is going to be really important. So Transformation Village will is built. It is completely built. We are just waiting on our certificate of occupancy to go into that, which we are anticipating to do that in the next 30 to 60 days. So that is our Transformation Village project, and we'll be selling our Steadfast location downtown. Moving in, and that Transformation Village does have 15 grant per diem beds, which means we will have 15 beds that are dedicated to female veterans. That's what we have now. They will shift over to Transformation Village. Then we also have our 250-bed veterans restoration quarters for male veterans. And so the same programs that are offered at the VRQ are going to be offered at Transformation Village. And I can talk a little bit more about Transformation Village maybe at the end if y'all have questions regarding that. So those are the main ministries that ABCCM has. And then you come into our ministry here with Veteran Services of the Carolinas. And so Veteran Services of the Carolinas is, let me see if I can make this thing go now. As a division, we operate four major programs with VSC, all of which are grant funded. So we're going to go into each one of those In the past 18 months, we have grown significantly. We were operating in 28 counties in Western North Carolina, which is all the foothills and Western region you see there, with about two programs. And in the last 24 months, we have grown to 74 counties. So we have went from a team of 16 to a team of 54 as of today. This implementing some services across the great state of North Carolina for our veterans population and military connected communities. So that just gives you a little bit of a footprint on how where we're at. We do have offices in Buncombe County here. We have an office in Charlotte. We have an office in Burke County. We have an office in Cumberland County toward the eastern part of the state at Fort Bragg. And we also have an office at Moorhead City, which is right outside Camp Lejeune. So some of the programs that we offer, and I'm just going to take this at a 30,000 foot view, is we do operate a grant from the Department of Veterans Affairs called SSVF, Supportive Services for Veterans and Families. This is a housing first program, housing first model, rapid rehousing, where we work with chronically homeless veterans that's in the streets and those at risk of becoming homeless. With the COVID-19 pandemic, our government has done really well with throwing a bunch of more resources our way. And so right now we have 109 individuals that are actively enrolled in our SSVF program. 30 of those we have in hotels right now. So they have relaxed a lot of our standards to get individuals off the streets. Shelters have been really tight because of COVID. So by working with hotels at a local and regional level, we're able to self-quarantine some of these individuals. Our case managers have been taking all the appropriate precautions as we have been deemed essential for the state to provide these services for our individuals. One of the things we really work on with this program is getting them back to self-sufficiency and getting them back to being able to afford affordable housing or permanent supportive housing on their own, which leads me to our second program, which is our employment services. Nathan is probably good to know this, that we are the largest Department of Labor Veterans program in the nation right now. We have three of these grants. Our HVRP, Homeless Veterans Reintegration Program, runs along the same lines as our SSVF. So chronically homeless individuals and veterans to those at risk of becoming homeless, we work to reenter into the workforce. So I like to say we use the ABCs of employment. You take someone who's chronically homeless that may be suffering from mental health or substance use or co-occurring issues. We work to get them a job. That's our first A in our ABCs. During that time, we do some assessment work, and then we use some of this funding to get them retrained, re-educated, to get them a better job, during which that time we're continuing to work. Our case managers work with our NC Works teams and others. And then we work to really put them into a career field. And making a livable wage on that. And so that sort of supports our housing. They sort of go parallel with one another as we try to make them self-sufficient. Our third program, which is not really our newest now, we're in our second year, is our NC Serves program with our service coordinated effort. Recently, we have went to local ownership. This grant is funded 100% by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. And so there's four networks across the state. We operate two of those now, one here in Western North Carolina and one in the eastern part of the state in coastal region. And so we use a web-based platform. I know Landa Council is very familiar. I know Leanne Tucker has worked with us in the past with the area of aging and has been a great partner with that. But we work through this web-based platform that meets all security requirements to link our veterans and family members to the correct resources that we have. In the community. So we're very similar to 211. We work really closely with 211, but this is really a veteran specific 211. So it's like really carved out to be in tune with some of the local nonprofits down to the church community that supports veterans in specific ways. And then our last program that we have is our Healing Outreach Partnership for Empowerment program. This is also a pilot grant that we have right now from the Department of Health and Human Services. We're only offering that in six counties currently, but it's really targeting those who are really truly living off the grid, that are really struggling with mental health and substance use disorders. And so we use a team of peer supports to go out. They spend a lot of times in the woods, a lot of times working with law enforcement, and it may take 2 or 3 months to get their trust to even pull them into a soup kitchen much less getting them into one of our other major programs or getting them linked to a lot of our other community organizations. So in a whole, that is the four major programs that VSC is offering across the state of North Carolina. And so I just wanted to show you from last year's data. This is off of our annual report, so it looks a little funky. But last year from our HOPE program and outreach with those six counties, we identified 238 veterans through that. We only had actually two peer supports in a very limited time. We didn't get the grant dollars until probably early February. So this is very skewed data. But we did enroll 21 individuals. Two of those individuals are completely self-sufficient now. They're living at home. They have a livable wage job. We made over 300 referrals back into the community for various things and also identified seven new encampments. And so that was just on last year. I will say this year we have identified closer to 600 veterans this year. We have close to 38 enrollments to date, and we've made well over 1,000 referrals this year, both into our NC Serve systems and our NC Care 360 partners as well, because we understand that our peer support team sometimes will encounter a civilian in the woods. We're not going to turn our backs on them. We're going to put them back in into the community. And so we're working really close with our NC Care 360 partners. Then our service coordination from last year, if you look at that, we've got a 77% positive outcome on all the services that we get, which is really unique when you think about service coordination across 21 human service domains. And so we're providing network and coordination of those services across over 500 different partners across the state of North Carolina. We have 97 providers unique here in Western North Carolina. So we serviced over 1,261 clients, both family members, caregivers, as well as veteran specific, with over 2,500 unique needs. And you can see the top four needs that you're looking at right now last year for Western North Carolina. That's 993 were shelter, housing and shelter, benefits, navigation, utilities, and income support was last year's biggest identifiers that we had across the veterans population. And this is just for families as well. Our housing services was also being number one. We provide those direct services through SSVF and our close alignment with the local VA medical center. We screened out and referred over close to 1,000 veterans. We prevented 131 prevention cases. This is 131 families that could have went to homelessness that we were able to pull in, pay their rent, and get them back on the right track to prevent homelessness, with a total of 240 families housed. What's unique there is you see the 90% success rate. One of the great things I'm proud of about ABCCM and what is unique to us is every veteran or family member that exits any of our programs, we celebrate, we give a cupcake party, we high five, and we say, great job, everyone. But more importantly, that's where our work really starts. We provide contact with that family for 18 months post-exit of any of our programs. I like to use the analogy oftentimes that from a recovery standpoint, one of my peer supports said, hey, I'm clean. I'm strong in my recovery. I've had 4 years of recovery. I'm good to go. The monkey's off my back, but the circus is always in town. And so any veteran that's in transition or have come out of a crisis situation, we sort of understand that being there for them for 18 months after they've been successfully exited allows them to remain housed. It allows them to remain employee. And I would like to say that's an easy thing to do, but it is not an easy thing to do. It is probably the most painful part of our job at ABCCM is keeping contact with these individuals once they exit. And so our coordination center team does that via email, via phone, via home visits. But maintaining that across the board with all of our programs with that 18 months is a big deal to us. And that's often why you see our success rates being a little bit higher. And it does take work and it does take a community effort to do those things. Our employment services is going to look a lot different next year because we have added two additional grants. This was basically off of basically one and maybe a quarter of a grant time frame. To date, this was last year, we enrolled 151 and we placed 103 homeless veterans back into the workforce last year with an average wage of $12.48. And this is just in Western North Carolina. with our 49 counties that we are serving in now across the state. To date, we have enrolled over 209 already into the employment program, and we're pushing about a $13.56 hourly wage. A lot of that is obviously coming out of our Winston-Salem and coastal regions. Believe it or not, our coastal community is actually a higher hourly wage than anywhere else in the state, which I thought was unique, and we're still trying to track that down. You would think Charlotte or Raleigh would have higher hourly wages, but it seems like our team from the coast seems to be doing a little bit better with that. And you can see our top employment fields that we're placing our veterans in. Culinary has been a big one, partly because of our great partnership with AB Tech and the culinary program here. CDL, driver's license, is another big one. Hospitality management has really boomed. We were working really close with the hotelier groups across the state to provide the right training, the right certifications that they need to put them back into the front desk clerk, to maintenance technicians, to working in the hotel industry. And then our warehouse industry is another one that's real big, particularly with our manufacturing fields. So those are the top four that we're placing veterans in as far as those are concerned. And this was last year's annual report. And this just is a little bit more on some employment issues that we pulled a couple months ago, where we're at and where we're at in each region. Like I said, this is pulled this together fairly quickly. It's not exactly as accurate as I'd like for it to be, because we have moved on a little bit past that. But it just sort of shows where we're at to date and how many we've got employed across the state with our employment team. So we are really proud of the work that we're doing across the state of North Carolina. We're really proud to partner with a lot of great organizations. Being able to scale like we've done has been a challenge. We weren't quite prepared that all of these are grant positions. And so when you apply for these grants, oftentimes you think, man, if I get two or three of these grants out of the seven or eight that I apply for, that'll be great. But you never expect to win all of them. And so when you win all of them at one time and you scale like that, we've had some hurdles to overcome. We've scaled really fast. But we're finally getting to a place where we're really starting to dial back in the quality of services that we're able to provide our veterans community. Something to keep in mind is a lot of these programs that are definitely geared toward our veterans. Our NC Serves team is really focused just as much on our family members and their support staff. We understand that veterans have a lot of programs, and getting them linked into their programs is a big part of their success. But if we're not supporting their support staff and supporting their families, then the likelihood of that success is going to be limited. So we understand the importance of supporting the family members, the spouses, the children through this transitional stage is critical to the success of this population. I'd just like to say again, too, you know, we have been working through this COVID pandemic. We've been working hard. We've had some drive-by stand downs. We've had thermometers out. We've got gloves. We've got PPE. We've been really, really fortunate. We've not had anybody on our staff or our clientele come down with a positive case of COVID. I think that the good Lord above is really taking care of us, as we are taking our precautions where we can. But we also understand that we've got to be there for our veterans population, letting them know that we're still here, we're still available to support them during this time. So the last screen that you're looking at there is how do you get a hold of us across any of our programs? There's a number there that you can call. You can check us out on our website. You can send them to 24 Cumberland or any of our other offices across the state. I know several of providers, and some of you that are on the call are providers in the NC Serve systems. So we do receive referrals from you. I think I saw Leslyn Jones. We actually honored her a couple months ago for being a top provider for our service platform. So it was great to see Leslyn on the call. So in a gist, that's a whole of what VSC is up to, what we are doing to date, and we can hope to continue to move the needle moving forward across the state and serving our veterans populations. So with that, Mr. Nathan Ramsey, I will turn it back over to you with any questions, concerns, or comments anybody may have.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Again, we thank you for joining us and sharing that with us. If you could refresh my recollection, What is the percentage of homeless individuals that are considered to be veterans? You recall?
It's I can't tell you a recall, but I could tell you that it's about 20% higher than the civilian population. Though, so it's 18 to 20% more likely that a veteran is homeless than a civilian would be homeless.
Well, and I know we you know, the sad thing is, and it's sad and disappointing for anyone to be homeless, but if you think of someone who served our nation and our military, helped defend and protect us, and that they're homeless, and some of that can be service related due to trauma and other things that they experience while in the military. So I know, I think a lot of our local governments and our partners are doing a much better job of trying to address our homeless population. You gave your contact information, but if any, you know, I guess that number is that, if we have any local governments, any partners that would like to learn how they could better collaborate with ABCCM, you mentioned the NC Serve network. I guess they do that through NC Serves and provide, that's how you connect all the service providers. Is that correct, Brandon?
Yeah, that's correct, Nathan. And that number that I give you, that 855 number, is really the best phone number to get a hold of any of us here. So if you call that number and say you want to talk to me, they'll link you up. If you call and say, I've got a client that needs help, they'll help them out. If they call and say, I want to be a provider, we'll do that too. So that's sort of our one-stop shop call number that we have to can reach any of us here at Veteran Services of the Carolinas.
And if someone would like to get in touch with Brandon, feel free to reach out to me at nathan@landasky.org, and I'll provide that his email, and so you can any questions you may have. We did get one question in the chat about retention rate for those that you find work, and I know that's oftentimes we know in our region our housing prices are higher, our apartment rental rates are higher, sometimes our wages aren't as high. So there's a, you know, it's a lot of people have housing insecurity, but where are you seeing the things that you can do to help retention, to help someone continue that path? I think you mentioned that's often one of the more difficult things you have to do as far as the follow-up and contact of individuals.
I'm seeing Barbara Darby ask that question, and I appreciate that. So we're right now with all of our employment programs last year, we keep around about an 85 to 88% retention rate for those that are staying in a livable wage. Oftentimes what happens is we get somebody a job and it is a lower paying job, and then they end up getting a higher paying job down the road. And so we do track that through our grant process. What we are finding out is that 18-month follow-up is critical to that, because oftentimes people will get a job and have a job for 6 months, and then COVID hit, right? That was a big one that we saw a lot of individuals lose their jobs in the food industry or in hospitality management. They lost their jobs. So still being there 6-7 months down the road, we were able to swoop back in, re-enroll them back into that grant, and then continue to work with them to find them another job. So that's where I think that 18-month follow-up gives us a better idea on that 85 to 88% success rate than we would if we just said, yay, we did it, and then we walk away, but 6 months later they lose their job. That's really not making a change in the health of our communities. And so does that sort of answer your question a little bit, Barbara?
And I should have, the security settings, I've just changed those. So if there's those on the call that want to speak, I'm allowing you to unmute yourself. And I know we have several individuals with the NC Work System. I saw Phil Young, and you mentioned Leslin earlier. So if there are anyone that would like to ask Brandon a question, you should be able to do that now, or you can enter that into the chat.
Hi, Nathan. This is Maria Spadera from AB Tech. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you today?
Okay. Hi, Brandon. I'm Maria Spadera from AB Tech. I'm the Director of Workforce Programs, and we're so excited to partner with ABCCM and Transformation Village to do some training. We've got some training programs ready to go when you guys are ready to open up. One of the questions I do have is, I was wondering if you had any additional information that you could share with me on the possibility of a temporary CO. We've been waiting to deliver lots of equipment to equip those training rooms with beds for the nurse aid room and some industrial training products for the construction room. And last I spoke with Scott Rogers, he said you might be getting a temporary CO that would allow vendors to deliver products. Do you have any information on that as to whether, as to if that might be earlier than the occupancy CO?
Yes, it will be. Scott, when I talked to Scott Monday, he said that we are still awaiting that temporary CO, but we are expecting it to come hopefully in the next 10 days before our other CO actually hits. So we are expecting to be able to move equipment in a lot quicker.
Okay. All right. Well, that's really good news. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you mentioned this for those that may not know, you should be able to see the construction site from I-26 as you drive past the I-40 interchange going south toward Hendersonville. Transformation Village is located in the vicinity of Asheville Outlets at the Brevard Road interchange. So I know that will be a great expansion of your services. Does anyone else have any questions? If not, we can end the call. We don't want to take too much of your time, but we're trying to allow people to share as much information as they can.
Yeah.
Mr. Sweeney?
Yes, sir. Nathan, first of all, Brandon, thank you very much. I'm gonna tease you with something then call back. We just are discovering that veterans can be good entrepreneurs. I'm in SCORE, and I'm gonna talk to you about that offline. But we do have a shortage of hospitality workers in Transylvania County. I've gotta believe it's the same in Buncombe. How successful are veterans that, you know, may need a second chance and being pulled into the hospitality industry?
Well, you saw it on our slide. That's one of our top four that we place veterans in that are successful, particularly here in the western part of the state. And so we would love to talk with you more. Transylvania, Polk, Rutherford, and Henderson counties have really sort of turned into our target areas here of lately. We're seeing a lot more veterans pop up in those counties. And so I would love to talk to you offline about that. I know we have several case managers that are starting to really dive in a little bit deeper than historically in those counties. And so I'd love to talk to you offline, Mr. Sweeney.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Brandon, one question we got, and this is an ongoing challenge. Oftentimes public transportation schedules, or maybe in some cases, public transportation doesn't serve certain locations. Are you able to provide transportation to those you serve? How are y'all able to deal with the transportation barrier?
So obviously that's something that's always an issue no matter where we go in the state. Our grant does allow us to use grant dollars to provide transportation. We've gotten creative at times. In some cases, our case managers are allowed to take them to work if it requires that. Obviously, we get bus vouchers if they have public transit. If there is an Uber or Lyft provider that will provide that, we will pay for the Uber or Lyft as well to get them to and from job, at least until they get to a point where they can provide it on their own. We have a lot of donors that end up giving us vehicles that we get refurbished that we are able to donate to our veterans that have got to the point where they are they can afford the insurance, they can afford the gas, they're working full time. And so we have been fortunate to give some cars away that donors have given to us that provides that. But that obviously is a hard thing to overcome at times where we work in counties that don't have public transit or counties where Uber or Lyft are hard to come by. Like you can't get an Uber ride in Graham County, North Carolina. And so that does pose some challenges, and we are trying to work with Uber and Lyft to provide more of those services in some of those outer line counties. So we do provide that where we can.
Brandon, and there might be an opportunity for some collaboration with our MPO team here at Land of Sky. You know, we've worked to try to build a workforce transportation like a van pool for employers. Nice. So, you know, whether you could do a you know, in a perfect world, I know you can't like wave a magic wand, but where you could have transportation from like the VRQ or the Transformation Village to maybe the Fletcher area, or where, you know, you have a lot of employers in the Northern Henderson, Southern Buncombe area that may be able to hire enough individuals that you could support a van, you know, a dedicated van pool. So maybe that's a conversation we need to continue. I need to follow up with you, and I'll reconnect with our MPO team about ways that we could possibly pull something like that together.
Yeah, that would be awesome, Nathan. I think that together we can do a whole lot more. So, yeah, let's talk offline with that. I would definitely entertain that 100%.
Does anyone else have any questions before we end the call? Again, we thank Brandon and the team at ABCCM for joining us and the Veterans Service of the Carolinas. Again, just want to honor the veterans, all of our veterans. You know, we do that this week, but really need to remember to do that each and every day. Want to thank our local governments and others who organized veterans ceremonies yesterday. I know with COVID, they were maybe a little different or were different, but I know that that still went forward, and I think a lot of those are recorded now, so you can listen to those. I was able to listen to the City of Asheville Veterans Ceremony they hosted, and the speaker was very inspirational. The gentleman was 100 years old, was a surgeon in the military, and that was a wonderful ceremony, and I know we had those all throughout the region, so... Brandon, thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your time. We'll try to post the archives of these calls on our Land of Sky website. I think we're a little behind in doing that, but hopefully we get that updated. Again, these calls are taped, and we want to use those to share. If you can go back if you need that for your future reference. If you'd like a contact with Brandon or anyone at the team at ABCCM, please reach out to me, and we'll give you that contact. And again, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to all those who are veterans. We appreciate your service. Please stay safe. Have a wonderful rest of your day. And if there's anything we can do for you at Land of Sky Regional Council, please reach out to us at landofsky.org or reach out to me. My email is nathan@landofsky.org, or you can find our contact information on our website. So thank you so much for joining us. Again, I hope everyone has a wonderful day.